I have been in the book of Genesis, but my wife and I, along with the Michelles, had the privilege to go to a conference. Often you go to these conferences and you get really fired up on them because people have put a lot of effort into it. But then you come back and just kind of go on with life. I was stirred enough by the topic that I said, you know what, I'm going to deviate from my series in Genesis and try to share with you how the Lord used it in my own heart. It is kind of a compiling of the thoughts, so in some respects it will be a little more topical than many a message that I have preached. But I trust that you will catch what the Lord is communicating. Heavenly Father, I would ask, I recognize my responsibility as your messenger in this situation, and I am praying that you would help me to be very careful with my words, to deliver exactly the message you would have for us as a body. I say that as a body of believers, but even if there be those here that are without a relationship with your Son, Jesus, and therefore are not part of your body, that their hearts, your spirit, would grab hold of them and stir them to want to know you through Jesus. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And that name is Jesus. You are the truth and the way. No man comes to the Father except through the Son. Lord, help us to lift up your Son. In Jesus' name, amen. The topic of the seminar was Side by Side. It was really based on a book by Ed Welch. I have about halfway through the book. I read half of it yesterday. Frankly, I was far more stirred by the conference than I was by the book. But the book has a lot of, it catches the thought. But what is the thought? First of all, we live in a culture of experts and specialists. You know, if we have an ailment with the joints, we go see a person who is specializing in the bones, right? And if we have a heart problem, we want to go see a cardiologist that knows about the heart. And if we have a brain problem, we go to a neurologist, and on we go. We are so geared into this. As a matter of fact, if I really have a problem with a particular car, I have learned that I take it to a dealer for that manufacturer. That was my fault. Just about dropped that thing. And this is the only one we have. That would have been not so fun. But at any rate, do you get my point? We do that same, that starts to form a mindset for us. A mindset that wasn't typical. It wasn't typical of my father's day. My father, you know, if something broke, we were 2.5-3 hours away from another big city. What did he do? He fixed it. He went to his shop and he went to his bench, figured out what parts he had and what things he had, and he made things work. We're a different generation. We are all called to bring the love of Christ to bear on one another's lives. And this is not a responsibility that's first and foremost for a few people that are, quote, specialists. One of the greatest needs of the American church, I'm saying the American church, I know it's not the same in all the foreign fields, but in the American church, is for the average person sitting in the pew to step up and embrace the role that God has given them in one another's lives. In the Old Testament, we recognize, and I'm not going to, I'll be very brief because of time here, but in the Old Testament, there are several people that you would say, you know what, they're the runt of the litter. You know, why did God choose them, and yet he uses them mightily? He takes the judges, and the ones he uses for the real leaders in the battles were often hiding out before God put his hand on them and said, get out here, you're the man. You take in the New Testament, we have women who take prominent positions that are known for their sin, and yet they have a dominant position and an impact. We have men who, say like the tax collector, who you have serious concerns about his ethics, and there he is in leadership. Now, why do I share that with you? Well, because many of us would say, that problem over there, that problem they're dealing with, I don't know, man. He needs somebody that's a specialist to help him. Now, I recognize when I look at my own life, where I was really in trouble, spiritually I'm referring to here, the ones that really helped me were not specialists. They were a close family member that came and talked to me. It was a friend that came and talked to me. Do you get my point? You know why that is that way? I'll bet you it's the same way in your life. Because that's God's way. And we feel so unworthy. I don't have a degree in that. I don't have a certification in this, and I can't. No, that is so wrong. John chapter 15, verse 5, is a word that really encourages me when I feel like I'm not competent. It says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, it's talking about getting really close to Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, where if you want to find victory and sustainability and peace and purpose in your life, get close to Jesus. Abide in him. Make that your focus. And it says, if you will abide in me and I in him, you bear much fruit. And it goes on to say, but without me, you can do nothing. You know what that verse reminds me of? I am not the critical factor here. I am simply his ambassador, his pawn, his instrument in the Redeemer's hands. But it is the power of God, the power of his word, the power of his spirit that makes a difference. And you know what that tells me? I need to abide in Jesus. And then I need to have the courage to embrace others that are struggling in love and in concern. Instead of resting on our lack of credentials, we should get energized. We should get excited and say, hey, you know what? God can use me. And my message to all of us here, God wants to use every one of us that's a genuine believer. And he wants us not to just sit in a pew and just kind of take in the message and, oh, I hope it's over soon. I've got something I want to do. No, I'm not talking about that. God, who, by the way, we are accountable to, we have been bought with a price, and we will be held accountable, has said this is our job. It's not about us making our life soft and cushy. It's about accomplishing what he wants for us. Our fruitfulness rests in Christ and not in our own capabilities, and that ought to encourage every one of us. I remember as a young man, I was in junior high, and the varsity coach came to me and said, called me my first name, and said, you know, if you work really hard, I am convinced you will be able to get a full scholarship to play football. Now, I say that to you for this reason. I really didn't think at that point I had any chance. I was struggling, wasn't doing so well at that point. But for whatever reason, he said that to me. I cannot tell you how that transformed my mindset towards the sport. All of a sudden, if he thought I had the capability, I got really gunned up and I really worked hard. And some of those things happen. God is telling us today that he wants to use you. No matter what your credentials, no matter what your background, no matter what your circumstances, he wants you. How close is our church to following the Lord's plan for growing his church? Well, let's just quickly do this. I'm going to have to move through this very fast. And he himself gave some. It's Ephesians chapter 4. You might open your Bible to there, verse 11 through 16. And he himself gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the equipping of the body of Christ, until he all come to the unity of faith by the knowledge of the Son of God, to the perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Here's the point. If you look at this, there is a verse, if not two, I guess it's really two in my mind when I think about it, that stand out that says, you know what, we really are about that. God is still calling people into the pastorate. He's calling people into the preaching, teaching work. No question about that. There's some very gifted people. Obviously, God's hand is upon it. And there is an emphasis on bringing it to maturity. There is an emphasis on teaching people, and that's right. But here's the problem. This part seems to be omitted. There seems to be a disconnect. It says, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. It is as if a pastor comes before a group on a Sunday and speaks to you personal, your own personal issues, and you need something to help you with your personal problem. And then it ends there. And I'm telling you, that is not the plan. The plan is for in a situation of preaching or in a Sunday school setting is that the preacher, the teacher, is to be investing in the life. Yes, so it would help the individual, but so that the individual will take it and use it in the lives of others. And it is that next step that is disconnected. We get to the next step and we say, oh yeah, they need somebody that's really a specialist, and they send them over here. Do you get the point? Least a burden in my heart. I see it in this last verse too. From whom the whole body, joined and knitted together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. Here's the truth. Every single one of you who is a genuine believer are supposed to be doing something to further the cause of the local church, the cause of Christ, the body of Christ, to move the ball forward, not just to be satisfied. Do you get my point? No matter where you are in this journey of life, you have a job to do, and that is to encourage others to go forward. This is really threefold. It talks about the equipping. For the equipping of the saints, you and I, you ought to be purposely right now invested in personal study time to say, I want to be more skilled in this area. I want to learn the word better so I can do this and help others. That's the equipping art. And you and I need to engage that. We have a responsibility to do that. Number two, to do the work of the ministry, you and I are, it isn't one person to do the work. It is, now I say that, and don't miss this point. As I was at the conference and listening to this, I was so thankful for the members of Family Baptist Church. Because you know that many, many, many manifest such a beautiful example of this. Many in the group are very vested and invested in other people, invested in the work of doing the ministry. But not everyone. And if you look at the American church as a whole, you see that there are large congregations of people gathered on a weekly basis. But I'll tell you what, the idea of them going out and doing the work themselves in the lives of others is not the override. That's why American Christianity is having such a watered-down impact. We are to be edifying, building up the body of Christ. You have a role to play. I have a role to play. And until we get everybody doing the role, we're falling short of what we ought to be able to accomplish. What are the major obstacles slowing the growth of the church? How well are we embracing the responsibility to love our neighbors? Well, as I was listening to these different messages, I couldn't help but remember Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. And what stood out to me, I don't know why the Lord laid this on my heart, but it really was, I kept thinking about this verse in the seminar after workshop after workshop. You shall not take vengeance nor bear grudge against your children of the people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. This passage of Leviticus chapter 19 is a powerful passage of personal responsibility. But you know what stands out about this verse? There is one phrase in it. It starts right here. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. That is the most frequently quoted Old Testament passage in the New Testament. It's quoted 8 times. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, I say this to you to make sure you don't miss the point. That is not accidental. A sovereign God took this verse out of Leviticus, of all places, and then he took a portion of it and then inspired the authors of the New Testament 8 different times to bring it before us. Love your neighbor as yourself. And there are many other passages that support the same theme. I think of John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. How are we to be known? By our love one for another. And the word love is a word that is an action verb which talks about us sacrificially giving ourselves to meet the needs of others. That's supposed to characterize us. We are supposed to... I had a phone call from a man that I only met 3 times. And I haven't seen him for 5 years. And today, he's sleeping in the mountains, the Rocky Mountains, homeless. He's had a seizure, and he's unable to work anymore, and he still waits another 30 days before he can get on some assistance. And he called me and asked if I would help him with a security deposit. So it's getting cold, and he could rent a place. He's set up to have this kick in the 15th of next month, and he would have stable housing. You know, you sit there and you say, seriously, how did you get my number? I didn't say that, actually. You know what I said? I had just been thinking through these concepts. And I said, Lord, thank you. It is clear what is going on in my mind. You are putting me to the test. Did you get the point? Too often we come up with excuses why we're not going to do something. Instead of saying, Lord, well, what do you want me to do? Love your neighbor as yourself. 2 Corinthians tells us in chapter 5 that we've been given the ministry of reconciliation. Do you know what that even includes in our own families? We are supposed to be doing what we can do to reconcile people. We have been given the word of reconciliation, which is the word of God. And that's not just the pastor, by the way. That's every one of us that is a genuine believer. You say, well, I don't know my Bible well enough to do it. Then get to know your Bible. Do you get my point? This idea of saying I'm not equipped, I don't have the tools, is a bunch of garbage. It's a bunch of excuses. You and I are supposed to be using our relationship with Jesus Christ and His Word in the lives of others to be a blessing. Galatians says that we're to bear one another's burdens. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in a trespass, you are spiritual. Restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, not rudeness, not arrogance. Consider yourself lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens. And what do you do when you bear one another's burdens? You fulfill the law of Christ. How significant is that? That's what life is. It's not about us having it easy or having a big bank account or having everything go our way. May everything go the wrong way if we're serving Jesus. Because in the end, there's great, precious rewards for this. I think of that rewards concept. Do you realize that believers are a part of Jesus' eternal inheritance? Listen to this passage. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, this is Paul to the Ephesus church, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, okay, that you would be able to not only know him, but now that you'd be able to have an awareness of how this really is working, that your eyes and understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Jesus Christ's inheritance in eternity are believers. They're treasured, precious treasures. Now think about that when you're interacting with another believer, especially one that may not have treated you all that well. They're still the inheritance of the Almighty. I am also minded of Romans chapter 8, verse 16 and 17, where it says that we are joint heirs with Christ. We share in his inheritance. You know what that says to my own heart? We left this conference. We were driving back. It's a 20-hour drive. It's a long drive. So the four of us were making our way as best we could, pushing forward, you know, with all commitment. We're going to get this done, and we're going to get home here. We go into a McDonald's. I don't know for what reason I went outside and made a phone call. I walked back in as my wife is talking to a lady who she was standing in line with, who for whatever reason had this horrible experience of life, and there they were praying. They were just praying for God's presence and peace. Here's the point. That's what we're talking about. Be available and look at people around us. And when you get a chance, plug into their lives. We are God's hands and feet, his voice in this troubled world. We need to step up to our responsibility. In so doing, I believe those acts like that are exactly how we store up treasures for ourselves in heaven. God takes note of those times when we stepped out of our own pressures to get places and do this and said, no, this person's hurting. We don't seem to recognize that it is biblical to actively store up treasures in heaven. That is a concept we don't think about. We don't talk about it much. I have to confess, I don't talk about it much. But I'm really stirred in my own heart to say, you know what? There's a lot in Scripture in this. In Luke chapter 12, it says, let your waist be girded and your lamps burning, and you yourself be like men who wait for their master. And it goes on. What is he saying? Why did Lord communicate that to us? You and I ought to get up in the morning and say, Lord, how can I be used today? And we ought to be ready to be used. We ought to be looking for opportunities to be used. If you go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9 through 10, it says, and each one may receive the things done in his body according to what he has done, whether it's good or bad. You know, there is a day in the future when your life, you're going to be called account, and these things are going to be recalled. That's what this passage talks about. Did you care enough to plug into a life, to take a time to pray, to give of your resources, to do what you could to be the blessing that Jesus intends for us to be? Do you get the point? Get the drift of where we're trying to go? Knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord. In Ephesians chapter 6, 5 through 8. Philippians. But I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Paul was saying, he's going to the Thessalonians with this heart that says, I want to get there. I want to be part of this because I want to be part of I just want to enjoy the blessing. Do you get it? Are you invested in anybody? Are you investing yourself in the lives of others, or are you consumed with your life? We live in a culture that is hard for us to see, but if we were able to step out of it and come from a different generation, you would see just how narcissistic, how self-focused we live. Other countries, other nations, other times in this nation were not caught up like this. And we need to get over it because it is not God's way. All right, what are we supposed to do? And I recognize the time, so let me just briefly do this. What are we to do? First of all, we're to abide. We are to abide. We first and foremost, get close to Jesus. You know, I pray often when I just first wake up, I try to remind myself, Lord, help me finish today closer to you than I've ever been. Lord, help me. No matter what is ahead, I have these things on my schedule. And the one thing I recognize about, I am a things to do list person. And I get great pleasure out of checking it off. But I also recognize that I get tremendously humbled and drawn to dependence on the Lord because I don't get my things to do list done. He often has a different plan. But I remind myself of that as that is happening. You know, Dave and Sally are gone because they're taking a little vacation time. But Dave, we've ministered together for almost three decades almost now. And early on, when we were going through some real struggles here at family, he said, you know what, we better figure this out, that we either have two choices. We can either get frustrated or we can be flexible. And he said, I suggest we be flexible. I remember the first time he said that, we were facing an ugly situation. A gang, we had been given a house, and a gang had been in it for years. And the neighborhood had just, and this crack squad would not raid this place because it was the way the house was built, it was too dangerous. And the city was fining us. We weren't able to do this, and we weren't getting any money. This was just costing us, and we didn't have money. And so, this is really a fascinating story. Sometime I'll share it as an illustration to another message. But I'll share this much with you. One of the conclusions we came is those rats have to start providing some money. We at least got to break even. So the two of us went to the door, and I introduced myself as the pastor, and Dave is as assistant pastor, and here we are. You're living in this place. This is God's house now. I don't know who, I don't know what type of relationship you had before, but this is God's house now, and you are costing us money, and you have got to at least supply the amount that we are getting fined for your sick behavior. Okay, we're talking to gang members that are running prostitution and drugs out of here in a big way. It was really quite a funny discussion. They started laughing at us, and then they took up money among themselves. And then from then on, we would collect funds from them until we finally got to a point where we were able to raid the place with a couple of beat cops that owed us a favor. Okay. My point is, how did I get out of that? It had nothing to do with anything. You know what it does say? Is that if we abide with him, he cares for us. And he is able to use us. Be a good steward, investing for eternity. But seek the kingdom of God and his things shall be added to you. Are you seeking the kingdom of God? As you get up this morning, you say, Lord, draw me closer to you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old. A treasure in heavens that does not fail. Where no thief approaches, nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I remember reading that verse when I was sitting in my executive office and saying, I'm leaving this. I'm not staying here. This is not where I belong. And I'll tell you what, 30 years later, I am so happy that I did. Be blessed be a blessing to the hurting. Whoever gives a little one only a cup of cold water in the name of the disciple, surely I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. You know what it's saying? As we bless those that have... A guy knocked on my door the other night, and he wanted to use my extension cord. Kind of recognized him, didn't recognize him. He said, well, I only live just around a corner here. I said, I know you've got an extension cord. Well, I know that too. He knew it, I knew it. Okay, so we agree that we know that I have an extension cord. He says, my car is broken down, and I got to get it fixed tonight. And it's now too dark for me to see, and I don't have an extension cord, but I do have a light. Can I use your extension cord? And I'm thinking to myself, $25. I said, sure. The extension cord is sitting on our deck. He brought it back. I don't know when. See, I honestly believe God takes note of those things. And I'm also reminded of tying this verse with John chapter 7, verse 38. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living waters. We are asked to give a cup of cold water. And he is saying he will give us rivers of living water. Now that hermeneutically may not be the best, but exegetically I should say, but it really spoke to my heart when I tied the two together that, listen, we can't outgive what God's doing in our lives. We are supposed to be hurting with our hurting brothers and doing whatever we can to help them. One of the strongest helps I have in this area is I learned a couple, 15, 16 years ago, when people come to me and help, I look at their age and I ask myself, if they're the age of my brother, I'd say, if it was my brother asking, what would I do? If they're the age of my daughter, I say, if it was my daughter asking, what would I do? If it was a younger person who would be the age of some of my grandchildren asking, I ask myself, what would I do? It's a different question than asking yourself, how do I get out of this? Notice, learn the potential treasures. For what is our hope or joy or crown or rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? For you are our glory and joy. The people we pump our lives into, they're our treasures. Not just here, but they are here, but in eternity. Even if they turn their back on you. Financially. Notice what Galatians chapter 6 says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all. As we have opportunity. Not as we have resources, as we have opportunity, especially to those who are of the household of faith. If they're a fellow believer, we really ought to go the extra mile. We need to go there not only in our activity, but in our words. Speaking the truth in love. Sometimes that means communicating to them, you know what, Jim, I can't give you $20 here. It has every indication it's going to be used for crack. And I just can't do that. Now, I'm willing to help you. You know, I'll take you. Let's go eat together. I'll buy you a meal, but I'm not giving you $20 for crack. That's speaking the truth in love. And I'll say to them, I don't want to have that on my conscience. I love you in the Lord. By the way, I know a place you can go. If you want to get off the street and get your life, you see what I'm, you get the point? We need to speak truth, but always in love. This is a good one. We need to be encouraging one another. You have no idea how often we discourage one another. Just think about how many people have discouraged you over the last week. We, as believers, ought to be coming alongside and being a blessing and encouragement. An underpinning. We ought to come here and say, oh, I'm going to get lifted up to go forward. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, boy, that is true today, but exhorting one another, That's encouraging, exhorting one another so much more as we see the day approaching. The day is approaching. Therefore, glorify God in all that you do. Conclusion. I have two questions. Now I want you to pay extreme attention to my two questions. Okay, do I have everybody's attention? Ask yourself this question. Who could I treat as a treasure in the next 24 hours? There is someone that you know that God wants you to treat, to be that encouragement, that cup of cold water. I have no idea who it is. But if you're a believer, I got to believe the Spirit of God's tapping you on the heart right now. And then you ought to be asking yourself, what will treating them as a treasure look like? God, what do you want me to do? And let me say, don't cop out and say, I don't know what to do, man. I can't handle this. You can handle it. It is God's way. We need to come alongside one another and be a blessing. And it's not just about thinking about it. It's about literally doing it. Heavenly Father, use us. Use us as individuals for your glory. Father, help us to be vesting every hour of every day in eternity, storing up treasures, edifying the body, building up the body so that we are all stronger. Encouraging one another, being faithful to attend together and to encourage together. Lord, please help us. This is a dark day. We need you. In Jesus' name, amen.